Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this edition of our English feature program. I'm Philippa Hitchin. Coming up today, as Pope Benedict prepares to leave Rome on his week-long journey to the Holy Land, we hear about preparations that have been going on in Jordan, Israel and the Palestinian territories. Our correspondent for this papal visit, Sean Patrick Lovett, takes a close look at some of the key issues the Pope will be addressing in his meetings with Christians, Muslims and Jews. And a local Palestinian youth leader talks about the hopes and concerns of young people in that troubled region today. Friday morning, Pope Benedict is due to depart from Rome's Fiumicino airport, headed for the Jordanian capital, Amman, at the start of his week-long journey to the Holy Land. He'll be spending the first 3 days there in Jordan, visiting the biblical sites of Mount Nebo, from where Moses first looked out across the Promised Land, and Bethany beyond the River Jordan, where Jesus is believed to have been baptized by John the Baptist. On Monday, the Pope is scheduled to fly on to Tel Aviv and spend a couple of days visiting the holy sites in Jerusalem, such as the Western Wall, the Dome of the Rock, and the upper room where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper with his disciples. On Wednesday, he crosses the separation barrier dividing Jerusalem from the West Bank for a mass in Bethlehem's Manger Square, a visit to the Caritas Baby Hospital there, and a tour of the nearby Aida refugee camp. On Thursday, then, the Pope travels up to Galilee to meet with Christians in Nazareth and celebrate Mass near the Basilica of the Annunciation. And then on Friday, he concludes this journey with visits to the Orthodox and Armenian patriarchs in Jerusalem and a moment of prayer in the Basilica of the Holy Sepulchre. A packed agenda, then, and one which the media will, of course, be scrutinising for political overtones. Sean Patrick Lovett will be travelling on the papal plane and reporting for us throughout this journey. He joins me now in studio for a look at some of the key issues the Pope will be focusing on in his many meetings with religious and political leaders in the region. So, Sean, Pope Benedict has been telling us ahead of this trip that he's going as a pilgrim of peace and unity to the Holy Land. That's an incredibly ambitious, some perhaps would even say utopian goal, isn't it, in this land which has found it so hard to break out of the cycle of violence and oppression.
It's more than ambitious, it's more than utopian, it's actually courageous insofar as, and it's important to remember, you know, that this trip was organised, or they started organising this trip last year before the invasion of Gaza, before the whole situation blew up, inverted commas, all over again. And so it was precisely the situation where you could say at that stage, after December, oh, well, you know, let's put this off, and maybe it's not the right time. And I think, you know, if the decision had been left to me, that's exactly what I would have said. But the fact of confirming this trip, I think there is an element of courage in that. I'm a little disappointed when I go to all the briefings and so forth, and I hear the inevitable, I suppose, politicizing that goes on around this trip. Of course, there's a political element. You know, you can't go into that area without bringing politics into it. But we also can't lose sight of the fact that it is a pilgrimage. He's a pope, first of all. He's not going there because he needs to get more votes to be re-elected next time round. He's not going there to sign contracts for building roads and bridges and oil ducts. He's there because he feels, as pope, as a religious leader, he needs to be there, and he needs to be there at this time.
There have been voices even among the Christian communities, though, haven't there, that have expressed doubt about the timing of this visit. We heard Fuad Twal, the patriarch, say the same thing.
No, I smile, excuse me, because you say there have been Christian voices. I mean, in the last few weeks, there have been voices from left, right, centre, up, down, every which way. It seems everybody has got to have their tuppence halfpenny, we used to say, and what that translates into is euro. But everyone has had to have their say. And of course, you can't please all the people all the time. And so at a certain stage, you do what you think is good and right, the good, the best thing to do at the time. And that's what I believe he's doing. I also think there's something wonderfully prophetic about it. It's one thing to squabble and discuss and have disagreements and misunderstandings, because that's the big word, isn't it? That's the subtext. Have misunderstandings with your neighbors, whether they be Muslims or Jews or Orthodox or Melkites or Chaldeans or whoever they may be. It's a whole difference. It's one thing to discuss your differences over the wall or across the fence. It's a whole other thing to go into their sitting rooms and sit down with them at table and say, right, you know, now let's talk about it. Let's try and understand each other better. And that's where I see the prophetic aspect, the fact of crossing the boundary, breaking down the wall, breaking down the fence, going and sitting down in their situations and trying to come to some kind of better understanding. And I think that's what he means when he uses words like peace and reconciliation.
So, of course, the focus between the three great faiths will be one of the main issues on this agenda, and one of the main subjects he'll be tackling, won't it? The whole question of interfaith dialogue.
Well, that's where we're going. We're going to the Holy Land. I mean, yes, the country, it's interesting, again, it's a political statement, yes, I know. We're going to three countries. And the organizers have been saying this from the start. We're going to three countries called Jordan and Israel and the Palestinian territories. But before we visit the three countries, we're going to an area called the Holy Land. And we believe that this is the place where Jesus walked the earth. This is where it happened. And we're going to look and touch and be in these places. And it's an opportunity to exchange and talk and listen to the people who live there, and no matter what religious community they belong to.
There will be inevitable comparisons, won't there, with Pope John Paul's visit there in the year 2000, again, in the footsteps of the apostles, the fathers of the church, and Jesus himself. How do you think this is going to perhaps distinguish itself from that previous visit?
There are inevitable comparisons that are going to be made, also because he's going to be doing many of the things that John Paul II did. He's going to go onto Mount Nebo, stand where John Paul II stood, looking out over the Promised Land. He's going to go to the Wailing Wall and place his prayer in the wall, exactly as John Paul II did. But there are, yes, it's a different, apart from the fact that it's a very different political climate. The situation was much more hopeful when John Paul II was there in terms of peace and reconciliation in the Holy Land. It's much uglier, more complex, more difficult now. So there's that political context that is totally different. But there are aspects of the trip that are different. John Paul II never performed a public mass when he was there in 2000. It seems very strange. I mean, we have very short memories. We're so used to seeing images of John Paul II with these vast open-air crowds. We forget. He celebrated Mass in the upper room with a handful of people, and there were no cameras there, and a few photographs were distributed afterwards.
Why was he unable to celebrate the open-air Masses at that time?
There were questions, there were issues of security even then. I mean, this is the year 2000, this is before the Twin Towers, but even so, there were very strong issues of security. There were also organizational questions about how many people could be brought to this kind of celebration. We know that for the Mass of the Joseph in the Josaphat Valley, for example, people will be invited, the busloads of pilgrims will be coming in from surrounding areas. We don't have to talk about numbers now, but we can certainly imagine there are going to be substantial numbers of people present at these celebrations.
The main aim, or one of the main aims, the Pope has said, is to strengthen the local Christian community there. It's a fairly divided Christian community. There are 13 different Christian churches and 6 Catholic communities. How do you think he can perhaps best do that?
It certainly needs strengthening, doesn't it? How do you strengthen division? How do you come into that situation? You need a strong personality, don't you? You need, to use the words of John the 23rd, you need to look for what unites us rather than what divides us. You strengthen, you stress the points of unity rather than the points of division. But you also need a strong personality. You need someone who's going to bring this all together. Looking over the trip, just sort of bits and pieces, I mean, you know that I'm quirky about these things. There's some wonderful symbols in this trip that we're going to be seeing. And one of the things that hits me now, even as I prepare for it, don't laugh, but rocks and stones.
It's very much part of the Holy Land. They call themselves the living rocks, the living stones.
I don't believe in coincidence, you see. I believe in the value of symbols, and I believe there are wonderful connections to be made. The rocks and stones. He's going to be at the Dome of the Rock. And you have this stone at the centre of the Dome of the Rock, which the Jews believe was the stone on which Abraham prepared to sacrifice his son Isaac. They believe it was the Holy of Holies in the Temple of Solomon. The Muslims believe it was the rock from which Muhammad was ascended into heaven. You have the Pope putting his prayer card into the wall, into the stones of the wall. You have him blessing several stones, the cornerstones for different churches that are going to be built. So it's not just the ancient stones, the stones of the past. It's the stones of the future, of churches that are moving into the future. And then you have him, the successor of Peter, Petros, the rock. What is the purpose of a rock? You cling to a rock in times of difficulty, don't you? And there he is, the living rock, in amidst these stones of the past and these stones of the future.
Thanks there to Sean Patrick Lovett, who will be reporting for us throughout this papal journey to the Holy Land. But what kind of living stones will Pope Benedict discover at the start of this visit in Jordan? What kind of Christian presence will he find in Amman today, the capital of an overwhelmingly Muslim nation, where he'll be visiting a mosque and meeting with Muslim leaders, as well as with King Abdullah, believed to be a direct descendant of the Prophet Muhammad?
We have the dialogue of life, and the daily life is shared among the Christians and their brothers, the Muslims.
Father Rifat Bader is spokesman in Jordan for the Latin Patriarchate, which oversees the Catholic Church there, as well as in Israel and the Palestinian territories. As organisers were putting the final touches on preparations for the Pope's arrival, I talked to Father Rifat about the many different churches and communities that make up the Christian presence in Jordan today.
We have 3% of this population are Christians. About 250,000 people are Christians, Jordanian Christians, but not all are living in Jordan, because we have many people who immigrated from Jordan outside. They are living especially in the South America or in the United States. Now we have a good Catholic communities in Jordan, churches. We have especially the Latin Patriarchate of Jerusalem, which is present in Jordan. About 30 parishes are for the Latin Patriarchate. We have 24 schools, and we have many or some hospitals, clinics, committees who are working for giving the social service for all the Jordanians. We have the Greek Melkite Church. Also, they have about 30 parishes. They have 15 schools. And we have also other Christian schools in Jordan for the Catholic churches, especially for the Melkite or for the religious congregations who are in Jordan. We have many religious congregations for men and women. We have especially the Rosary Sisters congregation. They have about 20 houses. They have 5 schools. And they have 1 hospital. This is about the Catholic presence in Jordan, but we have to know also that we have another communities who are not Jordanians, but who are living in Jordan, especially the Chaldean Church. We have about 20,000 people of Iraqi refugees who are living in Jordan, and they have their parish, they have their priest, but also the Catholic churches in general give services also for these refugees who came to live in Jordan after the war against Iraq in 91 and in 2003. We have also the Maronite Church. They have about 2,000 people who are from Lebanon, and they have a parish now, they have a priest. We have Armenian Church, we have Syriac Church with small numbers, but they are there. We have also the foreign nationalities, especially from America, from France, from Italy, from England. We have the Filipino workers also who work in Jordan. We have big numbers. We have about 8,000 Filipinos who are in Jordan. We have 6,000 of Sri Lanka who are working especially to give services at the houses.
So a very rich tapestry of different Christian churches and communities. What are the relations like between these different communities? We've seen so often the very strained relations between the Christian churches in Jerusalem. What is the situation like there in Jordan?
Well, we have a special council for the heads of churches in Jordan, which is formed by the bishops or the leaders of these churches in Jordan. And they are the official representatives for the churches or for the Christians in front of the government in dealing with the official issues. We have mutual respect between these churches, but we need to strengthen this collaboration and these relations to get better and better.
Thanks there to Father Rifat Bader, spokesman for the Catholic Church in Jordan during this papal visit. On the second stage of his pilgrimage of peace, Pope Benedict moves on to Israel and the Palestinian territories, where he says he hopes to strengthen the struggling Christian churches. Beset by all kinds of practical difficulties, from roadblocks to visa problems, from unemployment to interfaith and ecumenical tensions, the numbers of Christians leaving the Holy Land has for decades been a constant cause of concern for the Church. The war in Gaza, the rift between Fatah and Hamas leaderships, and the clear endorsement at the recent Israeli elections of a right-wing government means hopes for a negotiated settlement with the Palestinians have receded even further, reinforcing a growing sense of despair within the Christian community.
We are not optimistic about our future. We can't forget the social, the economical situation. It's really bad.
Charlie Abu Sada is a member of the Melkite Catholic Church in Beit Sahur near Bethlehem, where he helps to run a radio station, an Arabic magazine, and the Juthuruna Youth Forum, promoting dialogue between young people of all faith communities in the Palestinian territories.
We use the culture, the media, we use, for example, the radio, the internet, our website. We have, for example, also the unique magazine, Christian magazine in Arabic language. It's a Christian magazine, it's for youth. So we use all these things where we can write about our faith, our history, our culture, who we are and what do we want from this life, from this land, from the church, from our government, etc., etc. And we try to dialogue with ourselves and with the others through these little projects.
We're looking forward to Pope Benedict's visit there to the Holy Land. Tell us a bit about preparations that are going on, preparing the church there for this visit.
The Palestinian Christians in general attend this visit of the Pope in the Holy Land, and we are preparing everything for this great event. The municipalities of Jerusalem, Bethlehem and Nazareth, you know, he will visit these three towns, are doing some work to fix, for example, the streets where the Pope will pass. And they are preparing for the places, the halls, where he will attend the masses in these three cities. The masses will be in English and in Latin, and the songs will be in Arabic. It will be a joint choir. Will participate Latin Catholic choirs from Bethlehem, Nazareth and Jerusalem, and the Greek Catholic Melkite choirs in these three cities will sing together for this visit, for the visit of the Pope. The situation in general in the Holy Land, in Israel and Palestine, is really bad. The Israeli new government, we think that it will be very hard to work with this new government. It will be hard to start a dialogue with them, as I'm speaking as a Palestinian. And we still have the problems between Palestinians themselves, between Fatah and Hamas. I think they will not reach an agreement. but we hope that they will arrive to a compromise between them. And we as Christians in the Holy Land, we feel sad. We are not optimistic about our future. We can't forget the social, the economical situation. It's really bad. You know, in Bethlehem we live because of the pilgrims who come to visit the Holy Land, who come to visit Bethlehem, for example. And the number of these pilgrims is not as we expected before. It's not the same number of the last year, for example. And, you know, everyone, even we are in the economical international crisis. So pilgrims, they don't spend, for example, as before. And this is very, really a problem for us. And about the immigration, in the last 3-4 years, Christians arrested to think to emigrate. But in these few months, many of the families, Christian families especially, they are starting to think to emigrate because of the bad political, social situation problems. It's very, really, very, very difficult life that we have in Palestine. You know about also the wall, 8 meters, the separation wall between Palestinian and Israelis. It's really hard to live there. But we have to live there. We have to remain there because, as the Pope John Paul II, he told us when he came in the year 2000, he told us to remain, to witness to Jesus Christ, to our faith, to Christianity. And we invite everyone, all our Christians, to remain, to witness. In the past 2,000 years, our Christians met many, many hard problems, many, many difficult issues, and we're still there. So we are living in a very difficult, critical situation now, but we have to follow up, to search for this hope. And I hope, personally, I hope that the Pope Benedict will bring us some hope.
Pope Benedict, as you say, will be bringing a message of hope to the Palestinian people there. You're working particularly with young Palestinians through the radio, through the Youth Forum and so on. Where can the young people today find these seeds of hope that you're trying to encourage them with?
We have to help them as a church, as a youth organization. We have to help them to search these little projects of hope. We have to know how to speak with them. We have to know how to involve them on all the projects of the churches. We have to involve them, for example, in the visit of the Pope in May now. Because of the bad situation, the critical situation, most of our Palestinian youth Christians, they don't feel involved in this visit of the Pope Benedict. So we are doing all our best, the patriarchs, the bishops, the Catholic bishops, and the parish priests. We are searching the way how to involve them in this great event. For example, we are trying to involve them in the choir during the three masses in Bethlehem, Jerusalem, and Nazareth. Also, we are getting involved, the scouts. I think in Bethlehem there will be more than 2,000 scouts, young people from Bethlehem, Beit Jala, Beit Zahor, from Bethlehem district.
Attending the Mass in Manger Square.
The Mass in Manger Square in Bethlehem, yeah.
And that's all from me, Philippa Hitchin, and from all of us here at the English programme for today. Join us again at this same time tomorrow for full coverage of Pope Benedict's arrival in Jordan at the start of his pilgrimage to the Holy Land. For now, stay tuned to Vatican Radio. Laudator Jesus Christus.
This is the only Christian Arabic magazine in the Holy Land, and the whole number, 52 pages, it will be about this visit, about the Pope, who is the Pope, why he's coming to visit us. He's coming to visit us firstly as Christians and especially as youth. He will come to visit us to strengthen the churches in the Holy Land and to give us some hope. So through this magazine, through these articles about the Pope himself and about this visit in general, we hope that we can involve youth. Also, we're trying through our radio and through our website to speak to our Christians, especially to our youth, to involve them much better.
There are difficulties, aren't there, though, between the different Christian denominations, even between the different Catholic churches there in the Holy Land. Do you hope that a visit like this can perhaps strengthen the different denominations and help them work together more effectively for the people there?
Yeah, of course, because we are, as Catholics, we are six Catholic churches in the Holy Land. Everybody, or the six bishops or parish priests of these six denominations, we are working on this visit in an ecumenical way. Also, the Pope will visit the Orthodox Patriarch and the Armenian Orthodox Patriarch. So we hope that these visits, these meetings with such patriarchs will help us in our dialogue with the Orthodox Church.
Where is the majority of the Greek Melkite community located? Is it mainly up in the Nazareth region?
In Galilee, yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about the church there?
Yeah, the majority of the Christians in Galilee, I'm speaking about Nazareth and Haifa, for example, the majority of our Christians there, they are from the Melkite Catholic Church, or the Greek Catholic Melkite Church. We have our bishop there, Monsignor Elias Shakur. He's in Haifa city. And the Melkite Church, it's about 75,000 people. There is 29-30 parishes there with about 40 priests that served all these 30 churches. It's a big one of the biggest churches in the Holy Land, with many little projects, housing projects. The University of Abilene, directed by His Excellency Monsignor Shakur himself.
That's an important project, the university, isn't
course.
It? Bringing in, I believe, Muslims, Jews and Christians.
Some Jews and Christians, yeah. It's the first Arab Christian university in the Holy Land. And there, as you said, the Christians, Muslims and a few Jews, they are working together as professors and as students, and they are learning together. So when we know each other, our life will be easy. So this university in Abilene, in Galilee, it's between Nazareth and Haifa, helps very much, really, the ecumenical thinking and the political and social issues.
The Pope will be celebrating Mass there, won't he, in Nazareth? Can you set the scene for us a little bit?
It's on the mountain where, according to the tradition of the Gospels, where the Jews, the inhabitants of Nazareth, wanted to throw Jesus down out of the city after his preach in the synagogue of Nazareth. And the municipality of Nazareth, it's in the, you know, Nazareth, we have two Nazareths now, the Arab municipality of Nazareth and the Jewish one. It's in the Arab part of Nazareth, and the Arab municipality, Christians and Muslims there, they are working very, very hard to prepare this piece of land. We are speaking about 40 to 50,000 of Christians that will be there. It will be Thursday of the 14th of May.
My thanks there to Charlie Abousada of the Greek Melkite Church in Beit Sahur, coordinator of the Jutharuna Youth Forum. And that's all from me, Philippa Hitchin, and from all of us here at the English Programme for today. Join us again at this same time tomorrow for full coverage of Pope Benedict's arrival in Jordan at the start of his pilgrimage to the Holy Land. For now, stay tuned to Vatican Radio. Laudetur Jesus Christus.